Into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
And get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? Get a slap?
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
Welcome along to Off the Ball. Will sitting in for Joe on this evening's show, and we've got a cracker coming up between now and 10 p.m. After 9 o'clock, we will have an exclusive interview with the Republic of Ireland senior football manager Stephen Kenny as we look forward to that friendly at Wembley against England and also his first five games in charge. On the football show, we're going to be pretty Champions League heavy. Man City against Liverpool, Man City and Liverpool both in action in the Champions League this evening. Huge game for Liverpool up against Ajax, the first time that these two clubs, who've shared 10 European Cups between them, will meet since the 1966-67 season. Ajax have had plenty of woes at home. They have only won one of their last seven home games in the Champions League, and Liverpool will be looking to inflict more misery on them this evening. Man City back in action against Porto as they look to pick themselves up after their shock defeat in the quarterfinals of the competition back in August when they lost 2-1 against Lyon. So Dan McDonald will be with us. He'll be all over those games in the Champions League. We'll also be looking forward to a huge game for Dundalk, their first game in the Europa League in some four seasons, when they took on Molde of Norway at Tallaght Stadium tomorrow evening. And on Friday, the Republic of Ireland women's football team have got a huge step on the way to potentially qualifying for the European Championships. A draw against Ukraine would secure second place in Group I. We'll hear from Risha Littlejohn also in the football show at 9. At 8 o'clock on Wednesday night rugby, we've got a real treat as well. The first part of our three-part interview with Ireland's most decorated rugby player, the former Leinster and Ireland fullback Rob Kearney, has been sitting down with Joe to talk about his new autobiography. So all that to look forward to. We're joined as well by Ronan Mullen. How are things, Ronan?
All's well, Will. How are you?
Look, it's a busy day for news. We've got Richie McCormack, who's across all the news too. How are you, Rich?
Young William, you well?
It's been, as I mentioned, a busy kind of day. Ronan, we're talking about things that are probably not going to happen for people now in Level 5, and lots of sporting organisations were looking for clarity. One of the big things that happened this morning, we know no under-20 All-Ireland Gaelic football final this coming Saturday because all underage Gaelic games has now been cancelled for the six-week period. And all this happening just hours before we go into Level 5.
Yeah, it is a shame, isn't it? Especially when you take into account the broader scheme of things for that age group and what they've already been through in these last few months, and what it, I think they've sort of been framed as particularly hard done by in these sort of developmental years. And it's the same for sports people. I think during discussions on Monday, this week feels so long, but Monday, when all of this was sort of coming to light, that there were probably going to concessions needed to be made on the GAA's part. Probably, I think it was probably being speculated that they might go a bit further, but this is probably one stage they had to take into account. But you do have to feel sorry for the players involved.
Yeah, many of them have been getting ready since the under-20 football leagues took place back in January. And in the case of Dublin against Galway, they just had a few days to wait until that All-Ireland final came around this weekend. Richie, I guess all of this probably has its genesis on the kind of period when Dublin and Donegal were about to go into Level 3 and a bit. I remember Micheál Martin mentioned senior intercounty, and then that was clarified as being adult intercounty. That word senior disappeared from Neffet's advice to the government's advice at the start of this week. And it's amazing what the omission of one word can actually do to games taking place or not.
Yeah, and it's been seen across a broad spectrum of society actually since Monday. There have been different clarifications sought about what the Stage 5 restrictions essentially mean to different areas of life. Like, as you mentioned, the omission of a word here or there can have a massive impact on that particular entity going forward. But yeah, in this instance, you got to feel sorry for, like, say, the participants in the Dublin-Galway game coming up at the weekend, which is supposed to be going ahead and would have been going ahead if it had been, what, 2, 3, 4 days earlier, and they've been preparing for that game to have the rug pulled from underneath them. The strange situation that befalls a clutch of Leinster under-20 hurling matches tonight that are still going ahead, and then they don't know when the resolution of that championship will come, because like they may resume after the 6 weeks, they may resume before the end of the 6 weeks, depending on how they're going. They may resume at some point later in the year. We just don't know. And again, for the umpteenth time, it's that blank space in front of us that scares so many people. People don't react really well to knowing about the unknown, if you know what I mean, because we don't know when the end point of all this is. We don't know when things will be able to settle down. We don't know when games can return to a normal schedule, when people can start going into stadiums again. So when you add an extra degree of uncertainty to people, it scares them, and justifiably so. We just hope that everybody kind of has the right mental supports in place to kind of get through these next 6 weeks.
Yeah, and look, we're always going to have inconsistencies when it comes to these levels and the way that things are applied. But Padraig Fanning made a fair point. He tweeted me earlier today and he said, look, there's a 6 week lockdown now for players in competitions. And as Richie mentioned, some would have played on Monday and Tuesday in Munster in the under 20 hurling. There are under 20 hurling games taking place in Leinster this evening. They then can't play for at least a 6 week period, but they can continue to go to college and to school, and they can continue to train with their teams, which feels quite unusual that they can't play competitive games, but can continue to train. Also on top of that, Ronan, golf has been lost here. The GUI said that they were kind of campaigning long and hard to try and keep golf courses open for players within 5 kilometres of their home, as was the case in lockdown 1.0. But golfers are going to have to put away the irons and the putter for 6 weeks at least now.
Yeah, and just on the face of it and the practicalities of golf itself, it seems so at odds with what we're being told about the virus and where it's most likely to spread and whatnot, that these wide open expanses where golf is played surely seems a far away risk in that regard. So to that point, it seems to fly in the face somewhat, given what other sports have been led to proceed both here and further afield. But I think, as with anything, there are some inconsistencies, and while restrictions, levels and tiers are brought in with the best of intentions, like to try and put this, there's so much unknown about it, to try and put it in neat little boxes where like one stage fits one thing is probably never going to work. It's more a matter of rolling with the punches, and while 6 weeks is the parameter that's been set out here, again, that's very fluid. So it's something to keep an eye on. I know they're going to review it after a month. And by the time we come to November, December, well, I'm not too sure how many people are going to be wanting to be going golfing. So that's another thing to keep in mind. But yeah, it's not great for the golf fanatics who are aplenty in off the ball towers.
Yeah,
I think with the golf thing, they just don't want to give people an inch. Like I genuinely don't know. I haven't put enough thought into it to kind of weigh up the pros and the cons of this one. But I think it's a case of, if they can keep as many people indoors as they possibly can, and by they I mean the government, over the next 6 weeks, then they're going to seek to do that. And offering anybody, whoever they are, a means to possibly go beyond their 5 kilometres, possibly mix among other people when they shouldn't be, they want to put an end to that as much as they possibly can. So from that point of view, I can absolutely understand why they looked at golf courses, as much as golf players and members, etc., might feel a little bit hard done by tonight, and I guess they have every right to. They also have to look on the other side of things and think that the government don't want to, at this stage, take chances. They don't want outbreaks here and there, however small they might be, to go back to a certain point, and that certain point being a sporting outlet. And if that sporting outlet isn't operating at an elite level, like the international soccer team will be, League of Ireland will be, GAA at the upper tier will be over the next while, then they just want to avoid all potential risks. And that's why, I guess, the gates of golf courses are closing for midnight.
And the other thing we've had, Rich, really since Monday, is kind of a lot of whataboutery that's been happening too, where, you know, people are interested in a certain area and someone else is interested in a sport or maybe a different area, and everything now becomes, well, how come they're allowed to have what they want but I'm not?
Yeah, people need to stop that, if we're being honest, because it doesn't do their own head any good to be thinking that they are being a victim in this when, you know, somebody else isn't. If you look at the numbers that are involved, and I'm not talking about case numbers, if you look at the numbers that are involved at senior intercounty level, at senior League of Ireland football level, at senior rugby level in this country, like, they're minuscule compared to the wider tranche of society, and they're being afforded the opportunity to essentially fulfill TV contracts and keep money to some degree rolling in and then trickling down to the lower levels that are inactive over the course of the next 6 weeks. You can see why elite sport when you think about it and use your brain a little bit is going ahead. When you try and compare like for like and compare sectors or different strands of life, or nobody comes out a winner. It's not clever. You're not going to reach a resolution to which you're happy with. So just leave it. It's a case of just you know, biting her fist a little bit and getting on with it for the next 6 weeks. That's essentially all we have to do, and all we kind of are left with. And again, as I say, once we have the right mental, or once the right structures around us to cope mentally with the next while, we will get through it.
Yeah, let's delve into the news round then. It is with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. It's another big night in the Champions League. We're back into the second evening of games in the group stages of the competition. And Richie, we've got an early cracker happening here. The Shaq attack put 3+ for Real Madrid, but Madrid are coming back into it.
Yeah, Madrid pulling one back through Luka Modric in the past few minutes of that game. It's now 3-2, she'll mention as well. Shakhtar Donetsk, shorn of 10 players due to coronavirus cases and close contacts and all that good stuff, went to the Estadio Di Stefano over in Madrid, the Castilla ground essentially of Real Madrid, while the Bernabeu is being dickied up, and scored 3 goals in 13 minutes before halftime through Tete, Rafael Varane on goal, and then Solomon just before the break. Luka Modric pulled him back 9 minutes after the restart. Vinicius Jr., 5 minutes after Modric's goal, has made it 3-2. So Madrid summoning the spirit of West Ham United this evening and pulling it out of the fire at home to Shakhtar Donetsk. The other game in that group tonight will see Inter take on Borussia Mönchengladbach. There will be an 8 o'clock start to the game in Amsterdam. Liverpool beginning their campaign away to Ajax tonight. Teams are in for this one. Andre Onana starts in goal for Ajax. Nusair Mazraoui, Per Schurrs, Dali Blind and Nicolas Tagliafico are their back four. Davy Klaassen, Ryan Gravenberch and Mohamed Kudus are in midfield. David Neres and Dusan Tadic and Lisandro Martinez are in their front three. For Liverpool, interesting lineup. This one, we already know they're without Virgil van Dijk and the injured Joel Matip. Adrian, of course, starts in goal in place of Alisson. A back four then of Trent, Alexander-Arnold, Fabinho, Joe Gomez and Andy Robertson. In midfield, it's Jorginho Wijnaldum, Curtis Jones in place of Jordan Henderson, who's on the bench, and James Milner. And then the familiar front three of Mo Salah, Roberto Firmino and Sadio Mane. Liverpool, as we know, without long-term absentee Virgil van Dijk and indeed Matip, who is another to come away from the Merseyside derby with an injury. And Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp wasn't taking kindly to suggestions last night that he should have strengthened in defence in the summer.
We went into the season with 3 centre-halves plus Fabinho as a cover plus young kids as cover. That's usually quite a good number. As a football club, it's difficult to have 4 world-class centre-halves. Immediately, it's on one side pretty expensive. On the other side, one of them doesn't play for a long, long time. And that's pretty difficult because it's not a position you rotate too much. So it's a tricky one. If anybody wants to tell us now, we made a mistake in the transfer window and we didn't. I think Jamie Carragher or whatever, they mentioned already something like this. There are a few reasons why they don't do this job, but they don't do the other job. But you cannot have the solutions always before you have the problem.
We will be talking to Dominic King from the Daily Mail, who's their Northwest correspondent, just after 7:30. But Ronan, for Liverpool, this is the first time that they're going to have a prolonged period of time without Virgil van Dijk since he signed for the club back in 2018. He's had a huge transformation in terms of their defence. He's played nearly 100 games in the Premier League and they've managed to keep 44 clean sheets during that period. They're going to have to be without him for months. We're talking about Joel Matip being out. Alisson is still a few weeks from coming back. This is the biggest defensive concern that Liverpool have had really in the Klopp era.
Yeah, for sure. And I kind of see both sides of the argument that's being put to him there about strengthening in that department. It's more, rather than getting a partner for Van Dijk, someone of that caliber, of whom there's probably not that many, or if any at all. Like, I think Carragher's point was more depth, because Lovren, for all he is Liverpool over the years, he was a decent backup, like played in the World Cup final, and if your first choice players aren't available, he can slot in. And we know Joel Matip's injury profile. Joe Gomez has been pegged for great things since the Liverpool youth team, but he hasn't quite hit the heady heights just yet. And we've seen Fabinho slot in very capably against Chelsea, but those, with the games coming thick and fast as they are, it's really going to be stretched. And Van Dijk, as you mentioned, the word that was tagged alongside his name since he joined Liverpool was transformative, because this isn't just a signing that improved the team. It turned the team around. Like, they went on that first Champions League final run They won the Champions League the following season, walked the Premier League last season on the strength of him, more or less, and Alisson, because they were the two key additions from the team of the first half of the Klopp era, really. So, yeah, it's a difficult one for them. This isn't the Ajax team of yore. They're kind of midstream on their, what would we call it, reformation after. They always get raided every 5 years or so and put the team back together, and they're kind of in between things at the moment. Didn't make too much of an impression on the Champions League last season, and again, in a bit of transition. So this is a winnable away fixture for Liverpool, but given the week they've had, you know, they probably could have been hoping for an easier start to the Champions League campaign.
Yeah, well, even going back to their defeat against Spurs in the semi-finals of the Champions League, ripped away from that team at this point, they've lost De Ligt, they've lost De Jong, they've lost Hakim Ziyech, and they've lost Van de Beek as well. So nearly all the star players from that run to the semi-final have now been stolen away for big money in recent times. The other game in Liverpool's group this evening is Midtjylland against Atalanta. Richie, Man City, how are they lining up for their game against Porto?
A note of positivity on the Van Dijk front, by the way. Kieran Cunningham tweeted this a couple of days ago. He said in the 23 games prior to Virgil van Dijk's debut for Liverpool in January 2018, Liverpool lost just twice. And that was while rotating Karius and Simon Mignolet in goals. So not all lost in the absence of Virgil van Dijk, as important as he may be for that Liverpool side. As you mentioned, in Group C, Manchester City entertaining Porto tonight. Ederson starts in goal for City. A back four then of Kyle Walker, the recent signing Ruben Diaz, Eric Garcia and Joao Cancelo. In midfield, it's Rodri, Ilkay Gundogan and Bernardo Silva, with Riyad Mahrez and Raheem Sterling either side of Sergio Hans Aguero. And the other game in that group sees Olympiacos host Marseille. There was a 5:55 start in the early kickoff in Group A, where it is currently Salzburg 2, Lokomotiv Moscow 1. At 8, Bayern Munich take on Atletico Madrid. That game only got the go-ahead this afternoon after the Bayern players underwent mass testing. Serge Gnabry has tested positive for COVID-19 and he temporarily placed a question mark over the rest of the squad. They are clear to take part in that game. As we mentioned, in Group B, Real Madrid 2, Shakhtar Donetsk 3, the latest score from Madrid. And at 8, Inter play Borussia Mönchengladbach. As we mentioned there, all under 20 and minor inter-county competitions will be paused after tonight. The GAA have reacted to the government's decision to impose level 5 coronavirus restrictions from midnight. This evening's Borgosh Energy Leinster under 20 hurling fixtures will go ahead, but Saturday's Airgrid under 20 football final between Dublin and Galway has been postponed. On a similar level regarding GAA, Down have been promoted to Division 2 of the Allianz Football League. Yes, this is only a Wednesday evening. The GAA confirmed that Longford's home match against Cork in Division 3 has been cancelled after the hosts conceded that game.
Not sure how Derry are going to feel about this. It was still very much an outside chance because Ronan's County of Louth are currently relegated, and you would have expected Down to pick up some points against them at the weekend and make everything academic. But the moment that Longford decided that their game against Cork was a dead rubber, it killed any minuscule chance that Derry had of putting a result up on Offaly at the weekend and qualifying for Division 2 for next year. It's amazing that these walkovers have been handed just purely because the teams who are in Division 2 at the end of next season won't have to play in the Tailteann Cup and we'll get a chance to play in the qualifiers. But the integrity now lost to both sides of that division, with Leitrim handing a walkover last weekend, which means that relegation can't be decided on overall scoring difference. Leitrim have to beat Tipperary to have any chance of surviving on the final day. But now Derry's motivation to beat Offaly has lessened, and it looks like a straight shootout really between Leitrim and Tipperary at the bottom. It is a messy division given what's happened in the last few weeks, and I wonder how Cork are going to feel as well about having to wait to play Kerry in November. They've got a long gap now to bridge without a competitive game. Elsewhere, Rich, we mentioned earlier about the golf. It's bad news if you are a golfer living near a golf course.
Yeah, golf courses around the country closed from midnight. The Golfing Union of Ireland and Ladies Golf Ireland jointly confirmed the news this evening. They were informed by Sport Ireland today that they must comply with level 5 coronavirus restrictions being introduced tonight. They are still seeking clarity, they say, on driving ranges and practice facilities. They say they'll inform people on that update as soon as is feasible. As many as 4 players could make their Ireland debuts on Saturday. Will Connors and Hugo Keenan will both start in the Six Nations game with Italy at the Aviva. Jameson Gibson Park and Ed Byrne have been named among the replacements. Jacob Stockdale starts at full back with Keenan and Andrew Conway on the wings. Bundiaki is partnered by Gary Ringrose in the centre with Jonathan Sexton and Conor Murray the halfbacks. Connors starts as a blindside with Caelan Doris on the opening, CJ Stander at number 8. James Ryan and Ty Byrne partner in the second row, while Keane Healy, Rob Herring and Andrew Porter packed down in the front row on Saturday. Head coach Andy Farrell has been explaining the selection of Stockdale at 15.
We've obviously had quite a few sessions under our belt now, so we've looked at different combinations and we've been very impressed with Jacob. I think he's learning the trade pretty quickly there in the backfield. He's learning how to adapt and get himself stronger in that position. We think he's got all the attributes to push forward in that position, and of course there's going to be elements of his game that we need to keep pushing forward, but we see, you know, Jacob, what you don't see on the wing from time to time is his skill level. You know, he's got great vision, he's able to see things, and he's got good hands as well. He hits a brilliant line, and not always do you get to do that from the wing. So hopefully we can get him involved as much as we possibly can. And also, he's obviously a great option there with the left boot to the back.
Four players there potentially getting their first Irish caps this weekend. Just looking through some of your texts on 53106. Lads, I'm a member of a rural golf club. No golden circles within 100 miles. A lot of older members. Why is it being closed? Open air, no close contact. Makes no sense at all. On the opposite end, while golf is actually played in wide open space, we have to get there and back, and we usually like to do something social afterwards. The nation has shown it can't be trusted, and that's why we're not currently allowed to have nice things. Keep your views coming in on 53106. Richie, where are we going next?
Wembley, Will. The Republic of Ireland's World Cup seeding will be at risk when they play England in a friendly next month. Stephen Kenny's side replaced New Zealand at Wembley after they withdrew over travel concerns related to COVID-19. Defeat could see Ireland drop from second to third seeds for the Qatar 2022 qualifying draw, which takes place shortly afterwards.
Dan Martin's been going pretty well at the Vuelta so far, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. He's moved up to second on general classification at the Vuelta España. The Irish rider finished third for the second consecutive stage today. Movistar's Marc Soler took the stage victory, with the overall race leader Primoz Roglic coming in second. Roglic, of course, the runner-up at the recent Tour de France. And Dan Martin has taken the green jersey as well after stage two of the Vuelta. Dundalk are near full strength for their Europa League group opener tomorrow night. They face the Norwegian champions Molde at Tallaght Stadium. Midfielder Chris Shields has been assessing their dangers today.
Yeah, we've done our video session yesterday on them. You know, you have to focus on you have to home in on their strengths, and obviously their midfield goals are a strength of theirs. They pretty much score from everywhere in the squad. I believe the fullbacks even have goals. So me personally, I've become one-on-one against the greater midfielder, the goal scoring eight, and it'll be my job to stop them from scoring goals. But as of late, we've seen it in ourselves. Sean Murray especially, he likes his competition. He started to add more goals to his games. And even Greg Sloggett and Patrick McElhinney, you know, it's very easy for them to pop with a goal too.
Ronan Mullen, you're a Lily Whites fan. What are Dundalk's prospects in the Europa League this year?
It's been such a bizarre season. Like, from the league being curtailed to the Champions League disappointment and how flat that went, to just this race into the Europa League, which seemed to fall into place so well for them. And the group, as compared to the previous group they had a few seasons ago, with all due credit to Zenit St. Petersburg fans who are listening, you know, I think Arsenal bring a bit more glamour in terms of a memorable fixture for Dundalk fans, and one that will stick in the minds, the obvious caveat being that, you know, there won't be any fans in attendance. But as a game, that's like the glamour tie. But as the point was made at the time, the likes of Molde and Rapid Vienna are winnable, quote-unquote, fixtures in the grand scheme of things, as compared to Arsenal, obviously. So I think it's a nice blend there. And it is nice to hear Chris Shields talking, because as this Dundalk team has evolved and changed over recent years throughout the Stephen Kenny era, beyond into Vinnie Perth and into present day, like, he was there at the very start, pre the Stephen Kenny thing. He was captain, quite wet behind the ears as a late teen in his early 20s. So the progression he's made is quite striking. And the fact that he'll get to take the pitch in these games again is a nice reward for him. But as in terms of their prospects, Will, I'm not sure. I think somewhat perversely, the fact that they're out of the title race and there's no asterisk in terms of Rovers' worthiness as champions, the way things are going. But Dundalk, the fact that although they have stuff to play for in the league, they can prioritise this competition. And given the glut of fixtures, which is bordering on crazy, like, it's actually hard to keep up with how often they're playing, they will be able to maybe rest players for these bigger European games.
Yeah, we'll be hearing from the former Dundalk and current Republic of Ireland manager Stephen Kenny just after 9 p.m. If you are a loud person or a loud fan, it's a busy evening for you on the show, because we've got Rob Kearney coming up just after 8 o'clock on Wednesday Night Rugby. Ronan, Richie, enjoy the Champions League for the evening. Thanks a million.
I thought you were going to say you're going to have Maxi on next, Will. Yeah.
Complete the golden trilogy, yeah?
Why not?
Take it easy, lads. We'll be hearing more from Richie later on in the show too. Before we begin our Champions League preview for the evening, and we're going to be talking to Dominic King from the Daily Mail, I want to just tell you about a special opportunity we've got in our competition for this weekend, because the Six Nations is back, and while you can't be at the game, we've teamed up with Vodafone, proud sponsor of the Irish rugby team, to bring you the next best thing. We're giving you the chance to watch Ireland's first game back, the Italy match in Dublin this coming Saturday, in the company of ex-Ireland international Mick Galway, all the way from the comfort of your own couch. You and four of your mates will join us for an exclusive off-air over Zoom experience as we build up to the big match at the Aviva. You'll get your own halftime and full-time analysis just for you and your mates, and you'll also be able to put your own questions to Mick. Plus, we'll also be joined directly after the game by one of Ireland's Match Day 23. And to top it all off, we've got daily prizes too of a Google Home Hub, an Ireland jersey and a signed team poster. To get involved and to be with a chance of winning, tell us what year did Mick Galway make his last appearance for Ireland? So in what year did Mick make his last appearance for Ireland? Text your name and the answer to that question to 53106 for 30 cent and we'll call you back after the show. Remember, you must be free this Saturday afternoon to watch the game. It's all with thanks to Vodafone. Team of us, everyone in. We'll be talking Liverpool after the break.
The News Round on Off The Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.